eavesdropping on someone's conversation.
Senior Focus.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury. I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And I have with me in the studio Pratima Soma, who is an experienced broadcaster and has been with Planet for over three decades. Pratima is a Justice of the Peace, a former New Zealand trained teacher, an author and writer, and is a trained meditation teacher. Her focus these days very much on spiritual wisdom and uplifting people in various places around the world. And she volunteers not only to do this program, but she volunteers in communities in New Zealand and India to help raise awareness of the ways in which people can live a better life.
Thank you.
Welcome, Pratima.
Thanks, Anne. Welcome to you as well. Good afternoon, Anne.
And I see you looking very colourful in your outfit today. Is there a special occasion on?
Yes, and it is called the 9 days festival that's going on at the moment called Navratri. Nav means nine days. And it's all to do with we go there all dressed up and then there is all this dancing happening. And it is there is a spiritual aspect of it as well, to gain energy from the Mother Goddess. So we appreciate Mother Earth, Mother Goddess, with lots of energy to keep us happy and healthy and happy. Yes. So.
Very good. That's fantastic. And when you say you go there, where is there?
So there means there are different places that, I've been to several places, in temples or in the hall. So Mahatma Gandhi Center is the biggest venue and it fits about 2,000 people there. So the singers and all musicians and all the... In past, few years back, when I first arrived in Auckland three decades ago, I used to sing because we just had local singers with some other friends. But now they hire all the people from India and all the musicians, they come from overseas. They do the singing and we do the dancing. And then there's food and all that at the end. But prayers for the world, prayers for the peace and prayers for the children and elderly and people in need, etc., etc. Because that energy, the cosmic energy from the goddess is that helps remove all the negativity from the environment. So it's really, really an important part. It's not a religious thing, it's for everybody. So nowadays, a lot of people around the world are celebrating this event as well.
Yeah. Ah, thank you very much for that input.
Yes.
So our topic today is grandparenting in the 21st century, and that entails looking at the conflicts and intergenerational stresses that are very much part of the role, whether you're a parent or a grandparent, of bringing up children in this environment that we're in. So, Pratima, would you like to tell us about some of your views that you've been working on in terms of just raising awareness for people of what they can be doing?
Yes. Working with many parents as a trustee for some charities also, I have come across that parents and there is a lot of confusion and doubts and worries are creating between the grandparents and parents and children. So I was thinking we need to go to the root cause, why this is happening and what can we do? What can the grandparents do? What can the parents do? What can the teachers do, even the teachers who plays an important role in the children's life as well, and their siblings and friends and whoever they come into contact with, has a, even outside environment, has a big impact on children. And that creates that gap, the transition gap that you were talking about. You know how I say generation gap, but you said it's mainly the time has now change. You know, modern time, there's a lot of time, it's time of technology. I know one mom, you know, that's why I'm saying the communication gap is also happening. So grandparents are too old to go and get the child from the room. So what mom does, that she rings from the kitchen and say, I've seen this myself, say to the child that the breakfast is ready. And the child is saying, I'm coming in another half an hour, just leave it on the table. So that isolation, that gap, and the mom just leaves it on the table, and there's nothing happening on the table together where we used to be. We used to sit on the table together with our families, grandparents and parents and children. We all used to eat and sit together, even when we watch TV. But now, children have got their own, you know, phone or whatever they do in their room. We don't, parents don't even know what the children are doing in the room half of the time. And so that communication gap is causing the less and less conversation between them. So if you're not talking to them often, you don't know. The children think that they are doing the right thing. And parents think that they... So the closeness is not happening. And that is why the calmness, the being patient, they are not patient, they get agitated, especially the grandparents. You know, because grandparents are very experienced people. And they know what they are saying, but sometimes they don't get their ways because children think that, you know, we are doing the right thing. Parents think that, nah, you are too old. You don't know anything. We are the parents. We know everything. And we are telling the right thing. And they are kind of trying to control their children. But nowadays, it's impossible to control. So the control comes there. And for that, you need to have, you need to confide in each other. You know, the parents need to have the confidence that the child has done something or doing something. And okay, that's fine to do. It's okay because my child is going to be home on time, for an example. And if that child is not home for, you know, in time, then the grandparents, sometimes they are flexible. They understand the children's point of view and they understand the parents' point of view as well. But they don't have much say in it because of they're kind of pushed aside. And that's what's happening. And the constructive criticism, so when they ask questions, nowadays when we were children, we never asked our parents, why do you do this, why do you do that, you know, anything. But nowadays children want to know everything. Why? Because out there they are in different environment, and inside at home parents are giving them different type of knowledge and guidance. So they are asking why, and the parents, sometimes I've noticed that they don't have answer for it. And the parents said, well, if you are not practicing yourself, if you don't know the answer, then why are you telling us to do this? You know, first you need to practice what you are telling us to do, but you are not doing it, you know. And you are also out there and spending a lot of time with your friends and family, so why can't we do this? But the parents say, no, you need to focus on your study. That's most important part in your life. But that becomes secondary for children because they also want to go out there and have good times with their friends and families. So all that confidence and constructive criticism, that creates that isolation. And then the parents start comparing. You know, all the C's there, you know, the communication, closeness, connectedness, calmness, confidence, constructive criticism, creating isolation, comparison, all that. They compare children with other children, their children with other children. Oh, he's doing really well. How come you are not there? So sometimes they need to give them time also, become calm, give them time that not all children are the same. Even in the same family, same brothers and sisters, they may be different. One child is really clever, another child is not. So you can't say, oh, you look at your sister or look at your brother and you know nothing, you can't do this, she can do all this. That actually brings that, you know, that doesn't motivate them. You need to motivate them. It's okay, you can't do this, but you can try your best. You know, so parents need to have that understanding before they, you know, put things to the children and make them responsible for their own goals. So they need to have that responsibility, children, not just do everything for them. just show them this is how you do it and let them try, you know, make them do things. So when they grow up, there's no confusion. Then they know what to do, have to deal in the outside society with other children and other people with different beliefs and different ways that they, you know, live their ways. So they can accept that and say, oh, yeah, I know that. And they become more and more confident about themselves. You know, being confident about themselves is more important. Once they are confident that they can challenge any faces, challenge any, you know, thing that comes in their way, whether it's negative or positive, they can go through it. Yes, because you can't be with them the whole time. What do you think, Anne?
I think what you're saying is very sound, because really, ultimately, you want children to be able to handle what comes up in their world and to feel some confidence in how they're handling it.
Yes.
One of the things that does crop up in the whole communication game,
yes,
that's difficult, is the impact technology has.
Yes.
When they're behind screens, they're not necessarily hearing what you're saying. I mean, it's like a wave of vibration coming through their ears, but their eyes are absorbed on the screen and they're more clued into what's going on the screen than they are to what you're saying.
Yes.
So one of the processes that really is very helpful,
yes,
is to actually ask them to repeat what they've heard.
Yes.
And some people say to me, look, I find it's a waste of time unless I can get them away from the screen first, yes, and get eye contact with them.
Yes.
So they're looking directly at me, not at the screen. Mm. And then I can say, it's important that you get to such and such a place by 4 p.m. so I can pick you up.
Yes.
And they actually then repeat that back.
Yes.
It's important I get to Smith's Corner by 4 p.m. because you're going to come and get me.
Right.
And I think that letting them get used to the idea that communication is two-way and that they need to tell you what they've heard,
yes,
clearly, so that both parties know what has been said and what has been received and what is going to be acted on.
But after all that, Anne, I know I agree with you, but it's the listening skills, you know, like you said, you know, approaching the right way first, looking into the eye and giving that, you know, the making them that you are not threatening them, you are not controlling them, but you are, you know, guiding them, you are supporting them, whatever they are doing. So have that first so that they confide in you. And then the other thing is listening is the really major thing. Like, a lot of parents are saying that children are not listening to us. And children are saying that the parents are not listening to us. The grandparents are in between always. They don't say much because they listen all the time. Most of the grandparents, they have that patience in them because that's how they lived their life. In their days, it was even tougher. So they listen and they do. But nowadays, the children have the choices. And parents do give them the choices, which is good. You know, you tell them this is wrong and this is right. For an example, if there is a little child to me, like you, if that child is wanting to climb up the tree, you say to the child that, you know, don't climb up, and then give them the reason. If you go up there, you will fall and you can end up in the hospital or blah, blah, blah. But, and if they don't listen after that, you give them the choice that, don't go. If you go, this is going to happen. And if they don't listen, if they still want to go up, let them go then. Let them have their choice because that's what they have, you know, they wanted to do. So once they go up and if they fall, they will realize that I made a mistake and they will learn from their mistake. So let them learn from their mistake because they can't be always perfect. They can't be always, you know, doing the right thing. Because they think they copy other children out there and they say, oh, they are not doing it. How come my parents are forcing me? In my days, you know, we never had that We had problem. When we were told to do something, we had to do. We had no choice. But nowadays, it's good that the parents are giving them, the grandparents are giving them the choices that you choose. And sometimes the children do choose the wrong path because of their siblings and, you know, the whoever they are in the school, even when they go to school, who they are with, in which company they are with, and the impact is major there as well, because they want to copy the children. They don't want to listen to what the parents have said. They forget about that. They want to do what their friends are doing. And they could be making the wrong choice, and that's where all these problems creates. And what do you think, what should the parents and grandparents do to solve this problem, you know, that the listening part, you know?
Yeah, I think listening is something that you have to encourage in a lot of different ways. Like there are games that can be played just for fun.
Yes.
What word can you hear inside this word?
Yes.
And that kind of thing. But I think there are other ways you make listening rewarding.
Yes.
Like storytelling. If you have one of you, it may not be, everyone's not a storyteller necessarily, but if one of you has that bent where you really enjoy telling stories,
yes,
then let the children be entertained. Tell them the stories. And or make up stories.
Yes.
Like something I used to do was think up three things.
Yes.
So there was an old woman with a basket, a man on a donkey,
right,
and a young boy with a silver sword.
Mm-hmm.
And the story had to be constructed with those characters and objects.
Okay.
So starting with three things, yes, you can build a story very easily, because yes, each person can contribute something to the story. So if you have three or four children, they can all join in and they can all add things to the story. This story just takes a life of its own. But they have to listen.
Yes.
And that's the whole name of the game is, you know, by listening to what somebody has added to the story, then you can add to the story next, and it can, yeah, be enjoyable. So
yes,
when you make listening part of your life, in an enjoyable way, then when you actually have to say something important,
yes,
children will listen.
They would. And it's how you look like my grandchildren. My daughter doesn't let them watch TV too much. So the other way is just to keep them busy. We take them out for a walk into the nature where they explore. They look at the trees and, you know, feel things in the nature. And there's a lot of experience and a lot of languages coming out. And they sit there with their eyes closed and just become mindful about all the things outside. So it's like, you know, becoming extrovert, but at the same time becoming introvert. You know, that is that brings out all that light of the love and light of knowing the nature and how we can connect with the nature also. And that helps a lot when you are a little child. You know, we think, oh, they're just children. You know, you don't want to take them in the forest. It's too dangerous. But to me, like, you know, do things, do activities with them, not just walking in the forest, but playing sports, for an example, you know, because they learn at school all day, and then especially the Indian parents, they want their children to come home and straight away get into their study, because they've studied all day. And I like the way here in New Zealand, because the parents are, teachers are saying, go home, you know, you can watch a little bit of TV, you can play games, you can play with your brothers and sisters, you know, play with your parents, go out for a walk, whatever you want to do. So it's good before. And then maybe before bedtime you can read or do your homework, you know, and give them that little time and set that time that this is the time. Now your time is to do your study. Come home, now you can do your homework And the child would happily do it. And then give them another half an hour to play or listen to the music or dance. And that's what we do with my grandchildren at home. And then they go back to sleep saying good night to everybody. No problem there. So it's just how we train them right from the beginning. Because what most of the parents, they leave them and then they're so busy with their work. Because nowadays parents are so busy in their own. I mean, grandparents used to be even busier in their days. They had to do everything by themselves. There was no machines and, you know, washing machine or washing dishes, dishwashers and all. They had to do everything with their own hands. And yet they used to find time. But nowadays parents, they are busy in a sense that they don't have time for children. And children just do their own thing. And that's when the parents give up. That's when the children give up. And when you give up, means you give up. You don't want to progress, you know, in any. Then it just, you know, brings them down in many ways. Confidence, including the confidence. They think they can't do anything. They think that they're useless. They think that other children are better than them. Because that's what they've been told. That, you know, you can't do this, you can't do that. You know, do this, do that. So it's not the way you express. You know, when you verbally express or even indirectly looking at them, they know your gestures, whether you are angry or whether you are, whether you are. So if you say the same message in a loving way, they will listen to you.
It's very clear children are like sponges. They just absorb what's going on in the environment they're in.
Yes.
And that really is the foundation of what happens next. So it's so important that you can deliberately create communications that are powerful.
Yes.
That build them up, that build their confidence.
Yes.
And that set them up for success. And you can do that.
Yes.
And that's what brings huge rewards in the end.
Yes, yes. And children always speak the truth, you know. They see things and they always speak the truth. And you think, oh, you know, why did she say this to me and whatnot? But they saw whatever they saw, they will tell you. And so you got to have that understanding, you know, between, you know, the understanding has to happen between the parents, grandparents and the children if they are living in the same family together.
And I think even if they're visiting, to have conflict over different standards,
yes,
different expectations, is not helpful.
Yes, the expectations, that's right.
So it's really important to sit down and work things out.
Yes.
And actually come to some agreement about what things you will reinforce and what things you will support. And if you have to disagree, then keep it to a minimum.
And many times instead of saying they copy you by looking at you doing things. You know, when you do, I can see my children now that they are doing things because I used to do. I never used to force them. But because they used to see me doing it. And now it's their time when they are raising up their children. They said, Mom, you used to do this, I remember. You know, so now they are doing the same. So it's like not telling them what to do, but you do it yourself. And one day they will do it themselves if you want to guide them to the path that you are walking on, you know, and be the right children when you grow up for the nation, to help the nation, not just themselves, but because a lot of them are becoming selfish in a sense that they want to study and get a good job and earn money. It's all becoming all materialistic world out there, and all they and competition that they just want to, I want to grow up and, you know, do this for myself and, you know, go this many places. They can do all that for themselves, but what about doing things for others also that would help the nation? Like if you want to be a doctor, yes, you can become a doctor, that's fine. But at the same time, you're helping so many people, so many people from sickness, you know. If you're the right doctor, you're doing the right thing. If you're a teacher, you're helping so many children. So with the aim, not because I want to be a teacher and I want to make so much money and grow up and I'm only working for money. No, you're working for the children, you know. So your focus is the children. I want it. And each and every child should be looked at individually. Not like, oh, I'm doing this job and I'm just going to go home and I can't be bothered. And, you know, if they learn or don't learn, not with that attitude. The attitude with, yes, each and every child is important and each and every child should be progressing in the way that they will also grow up and do things for the world, the nation, for the humanity, to contribute something for others. And that's very important.
Yes, the value of service.
Yes.
It is something that needs to be understood.
Yes.
And children today are watching a lot of disasters unfold on television. They're actually seeing people suffering. They're seeing a lot on their screens. And even though they're seeing all that, and it's sometimes overwhelming, they're not necessarily getting that sense of who's going to help?
Yes.
It happens to us. So in a sense, what they need to have is that conversation about service.
Yes.
That idea that you're better off in a disaster if you're well connected.
Yes.
If you serve your community, then your community knows you and people will help you in that situation. So just understanding that, just having discussions about that is really
important. Correct. There's so much to talk about. Maybe we can, you know, involve parents and children also and get their opinion and make another program and bring the parents in and bring the children in and, you know, not bring them in the studio, but, you know, talk to them.
And well, that's one of the things that we can do. We can do outreach and take our microphone out. And it's one of the things I'd like to plan for. Just today, I'm aware that one of the key things in observing parents and children that I notice frequently is the times when the parents actually lose their authority and slip below the line and the children swap roles. So the children are bossing the parents.
Yes.
They are determining things and calling the shots. And when that happens, there is a real problem.
Yes. But why? Why are they bossing the children? Because the parents have given that impression that they are useless. But they are not useless, they are usedless, that I always say to you. They are usedless. They are not useless. But if you make them believe that they are not useless, you see, they will do wonders.
Yeah. I think that basically, that's the subject of another program.
Yes.
So we're not going to carry this conversation on. But I do encourage you to enjoy your family and enjoy your children and grandchildren.
Yes.
And find gems.
I'm taking my granddaughter to the event today as well. She just loves it. And she just tries to copy how you do the dance. It's a this special type of dance that you do. And she's just, I don't show her, she just copies me.
Mm.
And she loves it, you know. So that's another thing is, you know, trying to give her that, take her to the right direction, you know.
So thank you, Fatima, very much for coming in and sharing with us today. And we look forward to having you again.
Thanks, Anne. Always a pleasure to work with you.
And to our listeners, we'll look forward to having you with us next week.
Thank you.
Get together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.